Thank you, Sister Anna. Praise the Lord. All right. If you're glad to be in church, say amen.
Amen.
All right. That wasn't loud enough in my opinion, but that's going to suffice. Amen. All right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. One verse of scripture this morning. So you're thinking, Brother Jake, that's going to be quick. Well, we're focusing on one verse of this morning. And Jacob, I'll only hold you for 3 hours, okay?
What?
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Dry Baptist humor. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, but our focusing verse today is verse 3. It's up there in my top favorite verses of Scripture. Amen. And it is a fantastic verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," I believe he's talking about chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for this day. Second of all, Lord, we thank you for salvation. God, how easy it is to know for sure we're going to heaven when we die. And Lord, you're just so clear in your word that your son died for all people, Lord. And I praise you that you're not a God that just picks and chooses, Lord, but you said it's for whomsoever. And Lord, I just thank you that you understood that before the foundation of the world that I was going to need Jesus, Lord, to get to heaven. And you made it so simple, Lord. And I just ask that you could help us this morning to understand that. Lord, for those who are saved this morning, I ask that you could also teach us to continue to grow and grow as your children, Lord. There's more from this verse than just salvation, Lord. And but those who may be with us and who may not be with us, that we'd remember to pray for them who are lost and who are not yet saved, Lord, who don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. God, I ask that you'd make that clear this morning, and maybe for those who might be listening on this in the near future, Lord, listening to this track, Lord, we just ask that you make it clear with your word. God, help me as you see fit to preach your word, and I can't do this without you, and I couldn't even study without your word. Lord, you always have a hand in it no matter what. God, we love you. We thank you for all those who came here this morning. We all came here for a purpose, Lord. And God, we love you. We thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen. So a lot of very good verses here leading up. In verse 1, talking about the cloud of witnesses we have in what's known as the faith chapter, which is Hebrews chapter 11. And then commanding us towards the end of verse 1, run with patience, with perseverance, in other words. Patience is perseverance. It's continuing steadfastly the race that is set before us. And then notice verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus clearly said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 14, 6, right? He made it clear. I don't know if that's the right verse, but I know he said it. Amen. And Jesus made it clear, "I'm the way to heaven." And I praise God he didn't say we had to jump through a bunch of hoops and do all these works, because you don't have to work to get to heaven. D.L. Moody said it perfectly. If you know the story, when Jesus was on the cross, he had two people next to him, right? One on one side, one on the other. And one was a thief, one was a murderer, I believe, the thief. And D.L. Moody described, he said the thief had nails in his hands, just like Jesus, and nails in his feet. So he could not work. He could not run with his feet. He could not run any errands for God. He could do nothing. He was nailed to a cross, dying through a horrible method of torture from the Romans. And yet God still made a way for him to go to heaven. And Jesus made it clear that that thief would be with him in paradise that day. That means that thief had nothing to do with his salvation except for just believing that Jesus could take care of his way. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Just like that thief, it was all grace and it was all faith. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. We have this entire gospel wrapped up in this verse, but also some points that I believe have direct implications to each and every one of us. Verse 3, the first two words, "for consider." I'm going to read the whole verse first, but this verse is beautiful. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." It was personal regarding Jesus. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Okay, so for the first two words, "for consider." you know what? Man needs to consider Jesus. We need to, initially, at some point, you had to say, okay, wait a minute. Why did Jesus die? What is the point of all of this? What is the purpose of my life? And man really just needs to consider Jesus. Okay, it's that simple. I thought of a little analogy here, and bear with me. This could be horrible, or it could be great. This is not on the spot. I was thinking of your typical ice cream stand, right? They're now starting to open up, right? And you can go to an ice cream stand, and there's like some places too many flavors for my attention deficit disorder to figure out, but you know, 30, 40, 50 different flavors, you've got to first pick the one you want, and not only that, you got to put money on the counter and you got to pay for that flavor so that you can receive that delicious ice cream cone and enjoy in that hot, beautiful weather like yesterday. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. But the world's the same way. There's so many different choices that you can make with the world. There's so many different ways, different jobs you can do, so many different places you can live, even just within Vermont. There's so many different jobs you can have, so many different people you can be involved with. But I tell you what, there's one choice that really matters out of all those choices. And unlike the ice cream counter, you don't have to put a penny down on the table to receive it. And that's Jesus Christ. You can accept him freely into your life. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know you're going to heaven if you make that choice. Now you're like, whoa, this is heavy. I'm just telling you what Hebrews 12:3 says. Look at the word. For consider. God doesn't say you have to get saved. Now the world says, okay, God's letting people go to hell. God is making people go to hell. That's changing the word of God. God gives everyone the choice. He wants us all. He says, for consider him. That him is Jesus Christ. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to go there, still looking at this word consider. And Paul, as I like to go to many times, he kept it so simple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, this is what Paul had to say. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I'm in the right book, okay. When I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom. Paul's like, you know what? I'm not a very smart man. I'm not using fancy words. He says, I keep it simple. He says, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That means that you can tell anyone how to go to heaven in simple, plain words, and it is clear. God doesn't want it complicated. He says in verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is so key. Jesus Christ crucified is so important to understand. Because if he wasn't crucified, if he didn't die for the sins of the world, there'd be no way for people to go to heaven. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I tell you what, I used to be afraid of dying. When I was not saved, if you had come to me and said, hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? I would have said, I have no clue. I don't even know what I believe. And I tell you what, I wouldn't have admitted it maybe, but that was a scary thing for me to admit. That was a scary thought for me to have that unsurety. Now, praise the Lord, God brought Kelsey into my life. Sometimes God just uses people. He can use the smallest person to someone like my wife to bring into your life and lead you to that exact point when you can make that choice to get saved. And that's a beautiful thing that God can do that. He says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul, if he didn't make it clear enough in verse 1, he said, this isn't about like tricking people to get saved. This is about plainly telling them the gospel, making it simple, and letting them make the decision. That's a beautiful thing. He said, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I tell you what, if I was up here just giving you my wisdom today, not only would it be horrible, boring, and dry, but it would have no authority to it, and it wouldn't lead to life. I can guarantee you that. But if I follow this word of God and follow what God lays before me, it's a lot better. And it even feels better for me because God takes care of it. He says, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the capital Spirit, and of power. The Holy Spirit of God can do amazing, wonderful things through people who are faithful to keep it. Paul said, you know what? The gospel needs to be simple. Otherwise, going back to Hebrews 12, how are people going to consider? You need to consider what Jesus Christ did for you. I can say I die because I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. What, Jake? What do you mean by that? I said, God, I can't make it to heaven on my own. I believe Jesus died on that cross for me, for my sin. I believe when he died, he paid my death. And when he rose again, this is the good part, he said, you know what? Jake's going to rise again in the end. And I trust that he's going to take me to heaven. That's all it is. And I can tell you, not one of that was an actual verse, but it's what is in the verses, amen. You know, it's not about praying a certain prayer. It's not about being a good person, because no one is. It's not about any of that. It's about trusting what God says. And I love that when he says, for consider, in Hebrews 12:3, he kept it simple. We need to consider Jesus. I'm going to keep it moving here. There's some other things we should consider. Now, I'm going to say Christian, because what I was just talking about was for people who are lost, who don't know for sure they're going to heaven, and how simple it is to go to heaven. Now, if you're saved, this still has to do with you. Consider Jesus, okay? If you're lost, you need to consider Jesus being the way to salvation. If you're saved, you need to consider Jesus on the way to live, and the way to live right. Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18:15. This convicted me, folks, and I don't know if it's going to do the same to you, but it did for me. Jesus said this, and this is for if anyone offends you, if anyone sins against you, whether they're a brother and sister in Christ or not. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said in verse 15 of chapter 18 of Matthew, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I'm going to stop there. The first thing Jesus says after that, you go directly to that person, one-on-one, and you talk to them. You say, you know what, I am so sorry. I messed up, and I care about you, and I don't want this to go further than it has gone. Forgive me, please, and if I've done something wrong too, tell me about it. That's what Jesus said. He said, go and tell him his fault, he or she, between thee and him alone. He kept it simple. But Jesus, I love, because he didn't just stop there. He says, because he understands that might not always work, okay? So then what does he say? He said, if he or she shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. There's nothing more beautiful than someone forgiving someone and talking about it, settling it, and then moving on. The bond that grows from that is unbelievable. I've already experienced it. It's a beautiful thing. But Jesus understands that's not always going to work. He said, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In other words, you go to your brother and sister in Christ, and you know what? You might have to bring someone else and say, look, this has been eating away at me, and we're praying about this, and I just want to deal with this. Let's talk it out. Let's talk it out. And when you have those witnesses, like Jesus said here, it's just a check on both sides to make sure, you know what? Every word is heard. Everything is understood. Jesus said, that's number two. And he goes further, by the way. And I believe part of the problem in churches these days, hear me out, folks, is that we mess up this order. We don't do the personal first. We don't consider the witness the second, and we don't consider the church for the third option. Sometimes we'll flip this around, and we'll flip it on its head. Notice verse 17. By the way, it's not always fun to preach these things, but it convicts me just as much. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and as a publican. So Christ is serious here. He's like, you follow this three-step simple program. I know it doesn't say that, but that's what it is. He says, this is simple. And he says, if you can follow this, you're going to gain your brother and sister. And if not, the truth's going to come out in the end, and you'll see what happens. Now, Jesus kept it simple, but we need to consider what Jesus says. If you're lost, you need to consider how simple he made your journey to heaven. He made it very simple. He said, believe on my name, and thou shalt be saved. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad it's a guarantee. You know, sometimes it's hard to witness to people we love who don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. My mom and my dad, I believe, are still lost. My sister, still lost. When I say lost, they just don't realize yet that the path they're on right now is not leading them to heaven. And that's a scary thing, because it is my job to not only pray for them, but to love them enough to share with them, even when it's uncomfortable. Look, it's not about right or wrong. It's about heaven or hell. That's serious, okay? And I care about my family. I care about my loved ones. I care about my sister. I care about people sometimes who I've never met. It is not easy for me to give a tract that says, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, to some random person. That's not always very easy, but I still do it. And even though it's uncomfortable, I do that because I believe they deserve a chance. I believe every person is as messed up as me, as messed up as I was, and they deserve to hear that. Whether or not they receive it is on them. Consider. That's what this verse starts with. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. I'm going to skip a couple other verses because, well, there's just too many verses. Hebrews 12:3 is our text today, Sister Rose. Hebrews 12:3, beautiful verse. So he says, for consider him that endured. These are the next two words. That endured. If you even consider what Christ had to go through, it is unreal. Talk about enduring. I cannot imagine. And here's my question. I wrote a what if. What if God chose not to endure? What if Jesus said, you know what, I'm not going to hang on this cross for all these people. I didn't even do anything wrong. That's what I would want to do, right? If I had done nothing wrong, never sinned, never told a lie, never did anything wrong, probably one of the last things I'd want to do is pay for everyone else's sin. Now, that's our nature, right? That's not Christ's nature, okay? Christ said, I am going to endure. Christ said, I am going to forgive them. We have commands in this Bible. I didn't go there, but if you want to write down, on the first point, consider Christ for Christians and for lost. Colossians 3:13, Paul makes it clear. He says we need to forgive each other as Christ forgave the church. I don't care what someone does to you. To forgive as Christ forgave is such a selfless forgiving, it's unbelievable. And that's what we're supposed to do. But now we have Christ enduring. Go to Romans with me. Romans chapter 9. And let me tell you, he did endure. And I'm glad he did, because he made my way to heaven possible. He made your way to heaven possible. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. This is what it says. It's even a what-if statement. You don't get these very often in the Bible. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, God is known as the potter. We've had that analogy in the Bible many times, mostly in the Old Testament. Verse 20, he's describing that. He said, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? In other words, Paul's like, man, some people will actually like call God out and think they can tell God who's the boss, when God's the one who created them. The Bible then says, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I tell you what, you can't change who you are. You can't change what naturally makes the person you are. I can't affect the fact that when you're having a conversation with me, I'm probably hearing a good maybe half your words, and then I could see an object or a thing, and my mind's gone. Okay, that's me. That's how I'm wired. I cannot help it. I love and care for people, but that's Jake. Ask my wife. She'll get a headache talking about it. But, you know, everyone, you cannot change who you are and how you're wired. God says, you know what? I made you exactly how you are, and that's a beautiful thing, and you need to accept that. But you can't question me about that. You know, I'm thankful my favorite color's red and that I like the New York Yankees. Okay, we're done there. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can make my own choices. You know, that's a beautiful thing. God actually allows us to make our own choices. We are free moral beings. It's up to us to decide. Now, that's what people twist these days into, okay, God's sending people to hell. No, he's not. 2 Peter 3:9 says, it's not God's will that any, that's no people, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jake, what's repentance? It's turning from where you are now and turning towards God. It's saying, no, you know what? I'm done with this. It's not working. I'm going to go for God. And I'm not saying the road's smooth once you get saved. But I tell you what, it's way smoother because you have a God who's with you now. You have the Holy Spirit sealed in your heart. It makes your life so much easier. And praise the Lord. Jesus endured, okay? Let's stay with our text, Hebrews 12. So he endured. Not only that, I said, what if? What if God didn't? Well, if he did not, we would not be going to heaven. I can guarantee you that. No one could have the assurance I have this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 3. So, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, notice that word contradiction. I tell you what, there's nothing more contradictory than a sinner against his own soul. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we have a very good explanation of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we could not, should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. A simple verse. So how does it start? We had the sentence of death in ourselves. And you're like, well, wait, why do we deserve to die? Well, if you go to any person on this planet, don't worry, I can ignore Bishop too, and I have ADHD. If you go to any person on this planet, you can ask him one question. Are you going to die? And they have to answer that, right? The truth of that is, yes, every person will eventually die. You could also ask them, do you know when you're going to die? Some who are older might say soon, but do they know when? They have no clue. My grandmother made it to 93. Okay? You don't know when you're going to die. She was looking rough when she was in her 70s. I'm not even kidding. But she made it to 93. No one knows when they're going to die, but everyone knows they're going to die. This verse, but we had the sentence of death in notice ourselves. Why? Why do people die? Sin. Exactly, Brother Todd. A simple rhetorical question, but it's so true. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. That's what the Bible tells us. You say, what? Sin leads to death? Yes, it does. That is why we die. No one in this world can truly answer why death occurs. They'll tell you how, They'll tell you how, decay of the body, where, just like an old car, when it finally is going to die. It's interesting how we use the same wording, but they won't tell you the why, because they don't know the why. They have no clue why death exists. The Word of God does tell you why. It's because of sin. It's because of ourselves. Why? So then he says that we should not trust in ourselves. So who should we trust in if we lead to death? This is why that word contradiction, I'm going back to Hebrews 12:3. That contradiction is real because the old way I used to live was simply leading me to death and to hell in the grave. That was it. That's harsh. That's rough. But that's where I was at. Jesus, now notice, in verse 3 of chapter 12, he said he endured that contradiction of sinners against himself. He made it personal. Jesus said, you know what? I'm taking Jake's sin to the cross. I'm taking Hannah's sin to the cross. I'm taking Kelsey's sin to the cross. I'm taking Jerry's sin to the cross. I'm taking Todd's sin to the cross. There's two ways you could take that. I'm taking Rose's sin to the cross. You could take that one offensive. What, my sin? Yes, your sin. Or you could take it the other way. Praise the Lord, he took my sin to the cross. Amen. He paid for it. Because you know what? We couldn't. You want to know what it would take for us to truly make the payment to be worth it going to heaven? Die and live in hell forever. And we'd never make it. Because that's the payment. Now, Jesus lived perfect, didn't sin. People are like, well, what's the big deal about Jesus? The big deal about Jesus is he never sinned. There's no proof of any sin. The second big deal about Jesus, he's the first and only person to die, be dead for 3 days in a grave with hundreds of witnesses, and then with over 500 witnesses after, see him resurrected. No one's got that. Muhammad, still in the grave. Buddha, still in the grave. Jesus, not in the grave. That's why it says he is present tense risen. Praise the Lord, we can get excited about that. Why? Because that's what's going to happen to us one day if you've made that choice. Now, if that if convicts your heart right now, I'm not here to point you out, but that's really important because that means you don't know for sure. And if you don't know for sure, you can know for sure. We're going to have an invitation at the end of this service, and I'm telling you now because you're going to be like, what the heck is this? Well, we have an invitation so that people have that choice or people have the option to pray to God and ask him to forgive him. Or if they've never made that choice, that they can make that choice at that time. And it's not to point people out. It's that that option is available. Hebrews 12:3, the first word is for consider. God wants everyone to have that chance. Every single person. For consider. Notice the contradiction. It's within ourselves. Then he says in that towards the halfway point of this verse, against himself, as I just mentioned, Jesus was enough. Even though he was in his flesh, he was God in the flesh. Romans 5. You're like, man, you like the book of Romans. Yes, I do like the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 19 really paint this clear that it's only Jesus to make the payment. These verses aren't always looked at because we always look at 5:8, which is God commending his love toward us, and 5:12. But 5:17 is beautiful. For if by one man's offense, talking about Adam and Eve committing sin, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by what? One Jesus. No one else. There's nothing else mentioned. It's just Jesus. Verse 18, therefore, you know what? Paul's like, if it wasn't clear enough, I'm just going to really make sure you get this because I want you to know how to go to heaven. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. They were condemned. But then what does he say? He didn't stop there. Even so, by the righteousness of how many? One. It's just Jesus. The free gift, if grace isn't clear enough, Paul's like, it's free. He uses plain English and says, the free gift came upon all men. I like that. Every person has the freedom to go to heaven and to know they're going to heaven when they die. He made it so clear, it's not even funny. Came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, those first two verses, in my opinion, say, okay, this is pretty simple. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And your only way is leading to death. He's like, no, let's give it again. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, there's Adam again, many were made sinners. So by what? The obedience of one. Jesus was the only one who obeyed the law perfectly. Every jot and tittle. Shall what? Many be made righteous. Why do you think in Hebrews 12:3, He took it against himself because he was the only one who could take it against himself and make the payment necessary for God to accept. That is why it says he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And then how does the verse end? With a comma. And then what does it say? Lest ye be wearied and what? Faint in your minds. I tell you what, you can lose the battle before you've even entered the battlefield if you don't consider. That's why the verse starts with "for consider." If you don't consider Jesus as an option to heaven, the less you be wearied and faint in your minds is the rest of your life, because you will be wearied. You will faint in your mind. You won't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, and you won't have that guarantee. Now, that was awful, because that's where I used to be at. It took me to, what, 22 years, was it? Was I 22? Yeah. It took me a long time. 22 years is a long time for me to have to consider. But sometimes it takes that long. And it's crazy. It feels like it was ages ago, but really it was only 4.5 years ago. But you know, I'm so glad that I can say, you know what? Oh, I can claim 1 John 5:13. I believed on the name of Jesus. I know that I have eternal life. That is a beautiful thing. So you need to understand, in order to consider, you've got to understand your options. You've got to understand that Jesus is the only way. And lastly, you've got to understand that being righteous doesn't involve the law. It doesn't involve anything you can do. It involves what God has already done. That's the cool thing. You know, this world wants to think what I do is good enough. But the sad thing is what you do is never good enough. It never will be. Romans chapter 3. We always look at Romans 3:23. But I want to go a few verses before. Because sometimes there's some beautiful nuggets of gold before the common verses. Romans 3:21 says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law," notice, "is manifested." How could the righteousness of God be without the law? Well, it's clear here. "Being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ." And then he says, "unto all and upon all them that" what? "Believe." You need to simply believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for you. He paid all your sin debt and the one way for you to go to heaven. That's what it takes. And then he says what? "For there is no difference." There's no difference than perfectly fulfilling the law and perfectly following Jesus. Now, first of all, it's impossible for you to perfectly fulfill the law. Everyone in this room has lied at least once in their life. Law has already failed on you. Boom. So you already know that's not an option. So what do you have left? You have the one other option. That's trusting Christ as your Savior. That's what this verse is saying. Plain and simple. People say this book's complicated. I truly don't think it is. There are some verses that, you know, like we were reading this morning with Jerry, you can't pronounce half the names, but you know they're talking about the names of so-and-so's son and so-and-so's daughter to give you a genealogy. Okay, yeah, we could stress about it. People want to rewrite the book, but you really don't need to. You just got to study. Simple as that. But the Bible tells me simply here, oh, I know. Yeah, the English is garbage anyways. But the point of these verses is simple. It's righteousness without the law is possible. That's cool. Let me repeat that. Righteousness without the law is possible. That's like going to everyone in this country right now and saying, you know what? You broke the law, but there's another way. Now, that's true. There is another way for them to get to heaven. Now, they deserve where they're at. They deserve to be in jail if they've murdered or raped someone. That's sick, and they deserve to be in jail. I believe people deserve to be in jail if they abort a baby, but this country says it's okay right now. The problem is that's the world's law. God's law is righteous and perfect. Now, the cool thing is those jailbirds who are in jail or those people who are still in jail still have a way to heaven when they die. And I praise God there are people going to jails, giving them this plain gospel and saying, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And they're getting saved in prison, turning their life around, and realizing too late for this world that they could have had this the whole time. That's a beautiful thing, though. But I want you to consider, back to Hebrews 12:3, and then we're going to have an altar call right now as Amy gets ready to come up to the piano. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. You're like, Jake, you've said that so many times. I want you to remember Hebrews 12:3. It's got the entire gospel in it, and it's got everything you truly need to understand. For consider him, Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We need to consider Jesus today. So as Amy comes up to the piano now, Kels may have to watch a couple little ones. We're going to turn to page 89. Song number 89 I'm picking because it is Jesus paid it all. If this message wasn't clear enough for you that Jesus paid all your sin debt, this song, if you look at the words, is beautiful. And I'd like you to come to these altars and either pray for a sin you need to get right with God, or most importantly, pray for someone you know who's lost, who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. And Amy, you can just start playing at any time. I'm not worried about singing. I'm worried about getting right with God, talking to God. Come right now, whenever you're ready. It's not something that needs to be forced. If you want to stay in your seat and pray, I'm fine with that. If you want to talk to me, don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, I'm fine with that too, even if it's after service. We're here to get right with God and to keep it simple and just to talk to Him. Amen. Thank you, Sister Amy.